Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to be here in this conference. I would like to thank the organizer of the conference and the organizers, Dr. Sayala Craig and Dr. Dennis Glover, for their supportings, particularly with my travel grant and local expenses. So that's wonderful for me. Because as a retired professor at the Chinese Academy of Sciences, even I'm now still working at the institute to train graduate students and to lead in some to lead some research projects in conservation and in ethnomedicine. So I would like to take this opportunity to share with you about the research and my team research on medicinal plants in China, with particular reference in Chinese Himalayas. So, the diversity of medicinal plants and its distribution in China, as you can see, different kind of medicinal plants are distributed over in the region. Particular, the some uniqueness medicinal plants like Selancum or Autophyllum, this is a very unique one used by Northwest Yunnan Mountain Ethnic Group for leprosy? Mm-hmm. Not leprosy, leprosy, the mental problem. That's very effective, and it is epilepsy. And the historical record about the traditional medicine in China, we can trace back to 3000 BC. And by that time, about 365 herbal plants recorded. And after that, quite large development through different dynasties. So I'm not going to one by one to read, but more important is the recent record, update the documentation and the inventory on medicinal plants in 1995, it's 11,146 medicinal plants are used in whole China. So if we look at the distribution of medicinal plants from different categories of plants, we will see from different type. But the most important are seed plants, more than 10,000 species. So the picture to show one of the important Himalaya medicinal plants, Coelophyllum. This one is used for anti-cancer. And then geographical distribution pattern of the medicinal plants in China, we can see classified into seven zones in the Chinese Himalaya. Yeah. One is the northeast China zone, 1,700 species. That mountain is the northwest of Yunnan, the Kawagebo, that's the mainly mountain. A lot of picture to show the tea forests. The tea trees are not grown in the standard plantations, but in the forest, mixed with the indigenous trees. That's the mountain ethnic minority girl collected medicinal plants, a lot of medicinal plants, viscum, so lytoso, yeah, English called, but different species, from parasite on the tea trees. That is considered very valuable for a medicinal purpose. And in central China zone, there are about 1,500 species. Southwest China zone, that's the most diversity area, 4,800 species. South China zone, 5,000 species. And Inner Mongolia zone, 1,700. And Northwest China zone, 2,014. And the Qinghai Tibetan Plateau is about 3,000. So all you see the left side photo is to show the long-time cultivation medicinal plants in the Chinese Himalayas. That's Auckland, or called Sossoria lapa. It was introduced into China about 200 years before from Dalimpong, India, but now it is widely cultivated. Another picture to show the Panax Loto ginseng, that's South China ginseng, very much developed in southeast China, southeast Yunnan province of China. And medicinal plants and ecosystems, very diverse from tropical to high Himalayas. China is the only country has the diverse ecosystem from tropical to the rich area, to the cold temperature or even the north regions of the world. So medicinal wild plants, medicinal plant species occupies about 95% of the total. Cultivated species, very small number, only 500 to 600 species. As you can see, some important medicinal plants are cultivated in different areas. And Acaulitum, that side is Acaulitum. This side, I could not see clear, probably Pyrus polyphylla. It's wild medicinal plants only recently cultivated in the small-scale plantations. The diversity of medicinal plants in utilization, used in various traditional medical systems, numbers 11,000 more species. So you look at this picture, the left side one, that is a very unique medicinal plant used by honey group in the mountain tropical area of Yunnan. That's called the flea grass. That one is to show the annual Dali fire. The trading of medicinal plants is very important. And the traditional Chinese medicine, about 4,773 species used. And Tibetan medicine, 2,685 species already recorded. And Mongolian medicine, 1,430. And other medicines are as many as the numbers shown here. But China has 56 ethnic groups. So the picture shows the local market. A lot of medicinal plants and fruits are traded in the local village market. And traditional herbal doctors are quite common in China. In northwest Vietnam, the La Shi doctor is there. And then the focal prescriptions, totally 10,000 have been recorded and documented, a lot, 20,000 in 1995. And traditional herbal food, cosmeticas, tonics, prevention, and other health care practices, totaling 2,000 to 3,000 species, in which the herbal tea, one category, 476 recipes. And pharmaceutical industry and cosmetic, beverage, food industry, totally 1,000 to 1,500, of which 717 species of plants supplied to pharmaceutical industry today. And some supplied to international markets, the TCM drugs 300 to 400 is a crude drug to supply the Asia, Europe, North America, and Pacific, and Australia, etc. The meaning of the plant extracts are supplying in the recent years, like diosgenin, taxon, jingo biloba extracts from Panax ginseng, Panax loto ginseng, are in huge quantities. And now I move to the medicinal plants in Chinese Himalaya region. So the area and location, we will see the whole picture of the Chinese Himalaya region includes five provinces, Tibet, Qinghai, Gansu, Sichuan, and Yunnan, including the Qinghai Tibetan Plateau and the Hunan Mountains, totaling 2 million square kilometer area. It's a huge area, occupies about one-fifth of the total China territory area. Three climatic zones, tropical, temperature, and cold deserts. So the medicinal plants in the Chinese Himalaya region, we can see the area and location. So same. So from the map, sorry. From the map, you can see the different province. I'm from Yunnan. That is the most southwest part. And the species richness of the critical regions of medicinal plants in the Chinese Himalaya. You can see from the lowland tropical area, limestone, tropical evergreen mountain forest, and a lot of ones, the dragon blood, called, but it's not crotal, it's Dracaena or Dracaena. It's used by ethnic minorities there. And this is table 2 to show the biodiversity of Chinese Himalaya region, the plants, Yunnan, Sichuan, Xizang, Qinghai, and Gansu. The most diverse species diversity areas in Yunnan, about 12,000 plant species, of which the medicinal plants is about 17, Yunnan. Or higher plants, 17,000, yeah. And the species diversity of medicinal plants in the Chinese Himalaya region, from the tropical large size of cardamom, called Amomomon Chaogu, that's a red fruit, and then a lot is the red berry, it's Euphydra lichiansis. It's an indigenous, unique, endemic species. Then we will see the a lot of medicinal plants and herbal food is called Musella, endemic species in the Musa family, but only in Yunnan. And then Paris polyphylla with red berries, and the medicinal plants in Chinese Himalaya by region, number of species identified by provinces. The most richest area is Yunnan, 4,758 species. So Tibetan is 1,460 and Qinghai 1,461. So medicinal plants used in Tibetan medicine, we can see the table, 2,685 and from different categories of plants, fungi, lichens, Prophytes, ferns, gymnosperma, angiosperma. And this one picture to show, just starting in recent 2-3 years, plantation of Paris polyphylla. Because Paris polyphylla is one of the most important medicinal plants in Yunnan province for making the famous traditional Chinese medicine called Yunnan Baiyao. That one is Bergenia. Yesterday we saw in the Botanic Garden here, Royal Botanic Garden here. And the critical regions for biodiversity conservation in terms of medicinal plants. We have identified 13 critical regions for biodiversity conservation. This is by SEPA, by State Bureau of Environment Conservation. And the critical regions in Chinese Himalaya are 5 critical regions in western China. And the south section of Hunan Mountains, north section of the Minsan Hunan Mountains, bordering area of the Qinghai Tibetan Xinjiang Plateaus, and Sichuan Banna area, which is tropical, and then Qinlin Mountains. So proposed 6 large important plant conservation area for medicinal plants in Chinese Himalaya. This was proposed a few years before, but now we have started the research project in the Hunan Mountains. So including the northwest Yunnan, western Sichuan, and southwest Sichuan, south Gansu, western Qinghai, and the north Tibet, and south Tibet. And so this map to show the proposed critical areas for plant diversity, including medicinal plants. And location of the northwest Yunnan of case study area, which I'm from. So we have established 3 project sites in northwest Yunnan, one in Naxi, ethnic mountain ethnic group area, another 2 established in the Tibetan area of Yunnan. So now we are talking about the sweetened medicinal plants and the sweets to medicinal plants. We will say sweetened medicinal plants. You see the picture, the large logging operation was happened during 1980s. End of 70s to end of 1980s, about 10 years operation, logging operation. Massive forest was destroyed by logging. And a large picture to show the Panax Loto Ginseng cultivation area. And the number of endangered higher plants, about 4,000 to 5,000 species, making up 15 to 20% of the Chinese flora. among scientists list about 640 species. And in China, we have the 156 species. So makes up about almost one-fifth. Resources declining and degradation. Medicinal plants, 3,000 species are declining. Are declining. According to the environment, State Environment Agency and Institute of Botany, okay. The protected and endangered species are such this number, so it would be a large species number are under protection now. And the state priority protection wild TCM plants, so there are category 1, 58 species, including Arsophila, Spinosa, Panax, Ginseng, wild one, I mean. So category 2, 13 species, category 3, 45 species, and the threatened medicinal plant categories including endangered, vulnerable, and rare. So species number of endangered plants in China. So threats to medicinal plants, the main factors are number one, deforestation. As I said, logging operation during the 1980s and habitat alterations. So the deforestation, massive logging operation in that period, and habitat alteration from farming, land use change due to population pressures, shifting agriculture in the lowland of the Himalayas, anti-cancer plants, methanose hookery discovered in lowland area of the Himalayas. And our harvesting on medicinal plants and commercial harvesting on 600 to 800 species. I just gave a few lists of them. Cordyceps, Coptis, Taxus, Eucomia, Paris, Denzombium, Dracaena, the dragon blood, and etc. So vegetation degradation is a very important reason by overgrazing, gold mining, that is particularly destructive in the Qinghai and the northern Tibetan area. Industrial development, particular mining. Infrastructure development, a lot of road, vehicle road constructed in that area. And the pollution and the climate change. The other day, Dr. Jan Salik mentioned her case study, so which is very good. And the invasive species, we will see. And a lot of factors to cause the degradation of medicinal plants and socio-economic factors. Rural poverty is a driving force to stimulate people to make more money from wild harvesting. And land resource tenure policy, that is a very important one. The recent change of the forest land tenure in China is still being examined, evaluated. It's good or bad, but to my feeling, it's probably good, because there is no collective forest tenure now, completely state and individual forest system. Marketing driving force, illegal trading, and cultural misguided consuming. People believe the wild is the best, so competing for wild medicinal plants. Not much use cultivated medicinal plants. This is a bad thing. And globalization and medical culture changes. So medicinal plants conservation in China, what we have done in this regard? And number one is legislation and the legal action. Yesterday, one participant asked me why Chinese government is so interested in making so many regulations. I think same like the last Prime Minister of UK, Tony Blair, making so many policies. I think because we lack of the policies, we lack of regulations. So we need regulations. And that is Kawagebo Bailey Mountain. And this is the Yulong Jade Dragon Mountain in Lijiang, northwest Yunnan. And the state forest law and environment protection law, regulations on protection and management of wildlife, more than 20 laws, I think. Legal actions. For instance, in Yunnan province, legal harvesting of wild taxus was very strong, very serious penalty, which resulted in one big company collapse, bankrupt. That is the implementation policy. Control of illegal trading, for instance, Denzombium. That is a big issue in China. And the research and technology developed on conservation. So we have published red list for conservation in which medicinal plants is included. We have organized trainings, for instance, one training on conservation of medicinal plants and the sacred mountains in northwest Yunnan. We invited some professional Buddhists come to join our workshop and community-based conservation to show the participatory, one photo to show the participatory conservation. And support to research project, we have operated about 100 to 200 projects in Chinese Himalayas by 1 year. So that's total China, not only me. From my institute, we have 5 projects working in the Tibetan area of China. And the capacity building and the education. I was a research professor, but I trained about 30 graduates. More than half of them are PhD students. This is one of my PhD students working in ethnobotanical studies. And conservation in situ, protected area, 2,400 natural reserves established. 10 medicinal plant gardens, germplasm bank, natural reserve. About 50% of the total Chinese terrestrial land area are including the protected areas. 6% of plants and 20% of forest land are under protection. So one of the picture to show, I'm working with 2 Japanese botanists in the Shangri-La area. That is the latest people with a big head. And conservation ex situ, 220 botanical gardens established, about 5,000 species of medicinal plants are cultivated in the botanical gardens. And national projects on TCM GAP development in 12 provinces focus on only 50 medicinal plants. That's called GAP development, cultivation. 15,000 hectares established. For instance, Panax, Gastrodia, Ligusticum, Frutillaria, Eucomia, Dendrobium, etc. And community-based medicinal plant conservation and cultivation is not so much common in China. But my institute, I would say, is one of the leading institutions in this kind of conservation work. And traditional home garden, we developed about 15 to 30 two species in our site, each site and each family, totaling about 1,500 species, and wild cultivation. Many plants are put in the wild cultivation traditionally, and now we just use this kind of traditional concept and technology to do it with the new wild cultivation. And the medicinal plantations, we have some large size of Panax, and Palis, and other medicinal plants, Oclandia, the Sorsoria, and the industrial community joint development, particularly in, okay. So strategic thinking on medicinal plant conservation in China. In situ conservation is the key. From my point of view, I think in situ conservation, except the conservation protected area, I think community-based conservation is very important. And this to show in Tibetan area, we established a sacred mountain site development in the village, 2 villages. And that's in Tibetan local language called Zida, with the conservation of medicinal plants. And community-based conservation is the key approach. Cultivation is a supporting to conservation, but not replacement of conservation. Cultivation is not only the solution, the final solution for conservation, I think. The maintaining and the revitalization of traditional herbal doctors is an urgent task for conservation of medicinal plants. But in my conservation philosophy, conservation of medicinal plants must be linking with conservation of traditional medical knowledge. Any conservation activity must be supported by a certain form of cultural forms. Otherwise, the conservation will be not successful. So training we organize. And ex-situ conservation is important. Strengthening various network of stakeholders in medicinal plant use. And transfer best practice from other countries. and adopted effective methods and actions in the implementation of important medicinal plants, and benefit sharing and traditional intellectual IPRS issues protections are all included in our project. Thank you very much. It's a quick translation.
Okay, so we could manage. 5 minutes for questions.
Yes, please.
I have one question on concepts. You mentioned that you talked a slightly bit on illegal harvesting of cordyceps. I mean, is collection illegal or is it in part, or could you sort of elaborate on this a little bit?
Cordyceps illegal harvesting. Well, this is quite complicated. What is illegal harvesting of cordyceps? In the protected area, that is clear. If someone without permission get into to collect, that is illegal. But for the large part of the state forest on land or community land, there is very poor management function. So some people come to harvest as a common property goods. So this is very difficult to control. But local government has made some important measures to check up that. Most important one, I think, is in Qinghai and northern Tibet. Massive of people rush into that area during May and June and July, and even stay there, establish a tent. Hundreds of people are harvested there, and day and night watched the cordyceps coming up. So that for that government has made some measures to check up since last I think 10 years. Yeah. Yes. Ken.
I liked your presentation very much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Yes, very good question, but one of our objective of the project is to influence government policy. But you know, China is a huge country. We are working on the local level, so we could not easily access to the central government agencies. But in some meetings, some kind of exchange, opportunity, we can convince to the government officials. But for the local, I mean the provincial government, is much easier to access. So I was involved in several panels, meetings, I convinced to them the importance of conservation, linkage of cultural conservation and biodiversity together, and running workshops, which seems quite good. I think it's quite supportive by them. Their attitude gradually changed. In Yunnan, before 10 years before, there was no one talk about conservation of sacred mountains. But now even it is listed in the government conservation project. That's very influential, I think. Thank you. Yes?
One more quick question.
You mentioned that Sasuriya Lampa was cultivated for 400 years.
Yeah, yes.
And we know that this species is listed in two CITES. So, is there any reason for putting into this CITES this two? And then, with the sort of now the abundance in China, we hear that it's been sort of grown on a very large scale. And then with the, even in Bhutan, we have quite a good amount of sugar being cultivated by our farmers. And then in fact, I think you really ask because we have some surplus production for our institute's requirement. So, second question is, do you feel that should be still in the CITES list?
I don't think the Oklandia lapa is original from China. It's from the South Himalaya side, introduced into China some 250 years by interview with local people from the horse and the tea exchange route, Silk Road, bring into China. It was cultivated in northwest China in large land area. I think for CITES, there's no restriction to the cultivated species. But for the wild harvesting, it's completely restricted. For cultivated products, it's not out of the control of the CITES, I think. Of course, I think there are some exchanges of the border trading between Bhutan and China. There was a very massive exchange of the medicinal plants. But since political reason, it was closed some many years. But now I hear the good news. Recently, it was open. I hope more wild Oklandia lapa can be exported into China. We can get a wild one from this country.
Okay, I think we'll have to stop there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.